KBFI 1450, North Idaho's radio.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
All right. Hi again, everybody, and welcome back aboard our local hour here on my favorite two radio stations in the entire nation. Of course, 1450 AM KBFI in beautiful Bonner's Ferry, 1400 AM KSBT in somewhat soggy Sandpoint. It's Thursday. This is North Idaho. So we call this show North Idaho Thursday. I'm your host, Bob Witte, and welcome. We've got a good show for you today. Did you know that yesterday was National Sandwich Day? I woke up to that news yesterday. I'm going, oh my gosh, I love sandwiches. It's going to be printed on my gravestone, you know, Bob Witte, whatever year. And, you know, enjoy every sandwich. That's what I'm thinking. Enjoy every sandwich. I think that'd be nice. But yesterday I did go out to the Pack River store and got there. Oh, it's great food, great people. And it's so good to see the Pack River store doing so well. I got I had never tried this, the Turkey Crunch. Unbelievable. I mean, it's got like 85,000 calories in it, but it was so good. It's $10. You could feed two people. You know, it was that good. Today was Mr. Sub, which is, you know, a Sandpoint staple. And lots of great sandwiches all around town. But that got me thinking, so I looked up. There was a survey done this last year by French's Mustard in preparation for National Sandwich Day. They took a poll around the country to see which sandwich is America's favorite, and the winner was the Philly cheesesteak. And I do love a good Philly cheesesteak, that's for sure, although I've never gotten one in Philadelphia. I've been to Philadelphia, but I've never gotten a Philly cheesesteak there. Number two following the Philly cheesesteak was the hamburger, which I think some would debate is not really a sandwich, but there's great hamburgers right here in Sandpoint. It just a dozen places where are great hamburgers. Followed by number three, barbecue pulled pork. Not a huge fan. The Italian and the Reuben. So those are the top five sandwiches. No bologna on that list anyway. Anyway, it's North Idaho Thursday, and first up we'll be chatting once again with Tammy Phan, the Community Hospice Manager at Bonner General Health. Always a pleasure to have Tammy on the show and learn more about hospice here in our area. And then we will welcome in Robert Pierce. He is the president of the Sandpoint Community Center, and that's the group that's bringing the ice rink to Sandpoint. Yeah, you heard about that? It's going to finally an ice rink in Sandpoint. There are so many hockey players here, and I got to ask them about curling. I wonder if they're going to have curling there. But, you know, just ice skaters, you know, a lot of people here from the Midwest, I mean, all over the country. But anyway, the new ice rink will be located at the Bonner County Fairgrounds. Really looking forward to talking to Robert and asking him all about it. I want to get all the details. You know, there were articles in the Reader and the Bee last week about the ice rink, but didn't give a lot of details, so we'll try to get as much info on that as possible. That's what's happening here today. What's happening in our area? Coming up, this fourth annual Jack Frost Fest. It's a music fest. It is happening this year outside. Well, some of it's outside. Some of it's inside. It's the property where Matchwood Brewing and Evans Brothers Coffee is. You know, they have that outdoor stage. There's going to be music on Saturday, November 13th, which, believe it or not, consult your calendar. It's a week from this Saturday is already November 13th. It is absolutely free. It's fun family entertainment. Again, some of it will be on the outside stage. Some will be in Matchwood. Some will be at Evans Brothers. So it's an all-day event from noon until 7. Live music by Shakewell, country music from the Last Chance Band. You're going to love those guys. Sista, Crooked Tooth, and Samantha Karsten, good friend of ours. So she used to sing for Black Salmon Truck, if you might recall Sam there. So, that's the Jack Frost Fest. We'll talk more about that next week. You know what time it is to talk about? It's time to talk about Toys for Tots. It's starting. You know, Toys for Tots put on by the Lions Club for about the 300th year in a row. You can go to Lakeview Park. You need to fill out an application. Now, let me make this clear. Everybody, to get toys for your kids or your grandkids or whatever, you need to fill out an application, but no one will be turned away. So you just need to be registered so they know that ask specific questions like what's the kid's favorite color, what kind of toys do they want, do you have boys, girls, what are the ages, things like that. So they get you the appropriate thing. So you can go to the Lion's Den, which is right down the street here at Lakeview Park, on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 9 until 3 and fill out that application. Or you get more information on the Sandpoint Lions Facebook page. You could also, if you're visiting the food bank, you can fill out the application there, or you can go to their webpage. So it's time for Toys for Tots. Yes, the holidays are right around the corner. What else is going on? There's a game day fun for a great cause. The Sandpoint High School Esports Club is hosting Extra Life Game this Saturday to raise funds for Sacred Heart Hospital as part of the Children's Miracle Network. Learn more about that by going to, you may want to write this down, dalton.hawkins at LPOSD, that's Lake Ponderay School District.org, or you can easily visit the Extra Life website, dalton.hawkins at LPOSD.org. For more information on that interesting event going on Saturday, Friday night, Bright Moments Jazz is playing at Eichardt's. Saturday, there's a shoreline cleanup brought to you by the Lake Ponderay Waterkeeper. They're hitting the Sandpoint City Beach. You can go to LPOW's website, Lake Ponderay Waterkeeper, learn more about that, or on Facebook as well. Also Saturday, we do this once a month, the first free Saturday at the Bonner County History Museum. Enjoy free admission to the County History Museum. Of course, it's on Ella, right? It's right there by the Lion's Den in Lakeview Park. This month's event is sponsored by Diane Brockway. And you can go to bonnercountyhistory.org or bonnercountyhistory.org. It's up to you. And to learn more about that. Saturday at the Ponderay Winery, Daniel Hall with his guitar by his side. This is not the same Daniel Hall. This is not the Hollins Gallery, Dan Hall. This is the musician, Daniel Hall. He'll be there from 5 until 8. Also Saturday, Warren Miller Ski Film is happening. It's called Winter Starts Now, and that's at the historic Panada Theater. And you can go to panada.org or panada.org anytime to learn more about everything going on at the Panada Theater. Well, going on here, we're talking to Tammy from Bonner General Health here in just a minute. And then we have Robert Pierce from the new ice rink arena coming to the Sandpoint area. Looking forward to the show, and we'll get to it right after this.
Jordan Sales and Service, home of the I Love My Tractor customer, has you covered this winter with a Coyote and closed cab tractor. Include your choice of Coyote attachments, from snowblowers to snowblades. Jordan Sales has the right Coyote tractor set up waiting for you. Take a look at their Coyote inventory at jordansales.com. Then stop by and see them for yourself in Post Falls at 3200 West Celtis Way. And get one before you get snowed in. You can always check them out on Facebook too. Jordan Sales and Service, your rural lifestyle dealer.
The holidays aren't about what you receive. It's about the good you give. P1FCU is asking you to join us in spreading a whole lot of joy this holiday season. Visit p1fcu.org/season or our Facebook page to nominate a family who could benefit from a special turkey dinner with all the trimmings. Want to do even more good? Stop by any P1FCU branch to drop off food, toy, and coat donations until December 17th. Join us in giving back during our season of giving.
Hi, this is Brett Taylor with Taylor & Sons Chevrolet, serving the greater Sandpoint area. I hate to say it, but as we transition toward winter, a lot of local customers are looking for the best price on a new set of tires. Taylor & Sons has taken action. Right now, we have one of the best selections of name brand tires our dealership has ever had. Taylor & Sons is the premier location to find the exact tires you're looking for at the best price. Taylor & Sons stocks and sells all major tire brands such as Hankook, Michelin, Goodyear, Bridgestone, and BFG. Taylor & Sons offers a 30-day price match guarantee on most major brands of tires. If you find a better price within 30 days of purchase, Taylor & Sons will refund the difference. In addition to the price match guarantee, Taylor & Sons is offering up to a $100 mail-in rebate on select brands of tires now through November 30th. All of the work is performed in our clean, state-of-the-art facility. You can view all of our current service specials online at tschevy.com. For your convenience, online scheduling is available. For guest-focused service, a world-class facility, and value for your money, it's Taylor & Sons Chevrolet.
The Sandpoint Bulldogs football team put all their powers on display against Mountain Home last Friday night in their victory. And it's on to the quarterfinals this week when they put up their number one ranking against Shelley. Shelley had a pretty easy time with Preston, and it should be a great contest at Barlow Stadium War Memorial Field Friday night. Don't miss a minute of the action, starting with the Yokes Fresh Market pregame show at 6:40. Kickoff Friday night as the Bulldogs battle the Russets at North Idaho's Radio, KSBT, KBFI, and 97.1 FM.
A lot of things feel out of control these days, so it's time you pick your battles. Skip playing referee in the morning. Skip laundry this week. Skip game limits today. Skip cooking tonight. New realities require new routines, and it's okay to skip some of the old ones. But don't skip your preteen's well visits and recommended and catch-up vaccinations. A public service announcement from Vaccinate Your Family in collaboration with Merck.
97.1 FM and 1450 AM, 1400 AM, North Idaho's radio.
All right, we are back here in North Idaho Thursday. I'm Bob Witte, your host once again this week. And once again this week, we are joined by a representative of Bonner General Health. And Tammy is with us, the community hospice manager. And Tammy is on the phone because she's so doggone busy these days. Tammy, how are you?
I'm doing amazing. How are you doing, Bob?
I'm good, thank you, even though it's pretty soggy outside. But I don't know. I'm after the heat and the smoke we had last summer, I'm ready for cold and rain and snow and stuff like that. So it feels good. What's going on in the hospice department these days?
Well, you know, November is actually National Hospice and Palliative Care Month.
Okay.
So I'm busy celebrating my team and the amazing work that they do in our community every single day. Hospice is a service, as you know, that comes right into an individual's home and really provides that end-of-life care, help individuals walk through the journey of experiencing their last several months and bringing that medical care right to them.
Yeah, and you guys do such a fantastic job. How many people are on your team?
We actually have about 14 team members.
Wow. So the process of going through hospice, how does somebody become eligible? Is this just something that, you know, your doctor might suggest to you, or is it something that you need to inquire about, you know, if you're sick or have some, you know, type of a disease that is about to take your life? How do you know when the time is to talk to you or someone from your team?
Yeah, you know, some examples, whenever someone is appropriate for hospice, when they have a life-limiting illness that they're no longer seeking curative-type treatment for, not just cancer, but cardiac, respiratory, mm-hmm. musculoskeletal. And you're right. Your physician may introduce it, and it may be something you want to ask about because not everyone thinks about that. And some examples of when it might be appropriate to consider hospice is when maybe treatment for your illness is not showing the same benefits as it once did.
Mm.
Maybe the medications for your heart disease, they're not seeming to work, or respiratory disease, or certainly, you know, the cancer treatment. Anyone that has a life-limiting illness that might be starting to decline physically or has had recurrent ER visits or maybe some hospitalizations. Another example would be an individual that shifts their goals from seeking aggressive types of treatment to really focusing on management of their symptoms and enjoying the highest quality of their life. And anyone who wants to just simply have their care managed at home rather than going into frequent clinic visits or choosing hospitalization.
Is there any benefit for hospice for the rest of the family?
Absolutely. You know, hospice is about the patient, their person, and their goals. But those that care surrounds their entire care team. So that would mean their family, whoever their caregivers might be. Everybody is a part of this journey together. And hospice really addresses that with the whole care team, including the ill person. And then once the person has passed away, of course, hospice offers bereavement services. So we work with supporting people. They've lost a loved one. We make phone calls. We have mailings. We offer groups. We offer one-on-one counseling, different ways to support the family after that journey is done.
Boy, I'm glad that you brought that up, because I don't know that most people realize that you're there not only for the patient, but for the entire family, even after, and to help them cope through it and to whatever resources are available for them. So that's incredibly valuable. Bonner General Community Hospice is the only nonprofit hospice service provided to our community around here. Are there ways, how are you supported? Are there ways that people can come out and help you guys or donate to you, or how does that work?
Absolutely. So one great way to support us is volunteering. Volunteers are an incredible and vital part of hospice. They provide anything from office to support to helping with fundraising, actually in the home with the clients and their loved ones, as well as an exceptional, just a variety of exceptional care services that they might be able to offer. If you have a heart for serving others, this might be a really great opportunity for you. And if you have an interest, you can contact Jocelyn Catterson at 208-265-1159. And of course, we are always appreciative for donations. You know, hospice is covered by most insurances, but we have never turned anyone away for their inability to pay or a copay. And we do, as a nonprofit, giving to us is a great way to enhance your own charitable giving. Any monies given to us go directly to those in our community for hospice services.
Yeah, what an invaluable service. Now, if someone did want to volunteer and help your team members out, is there training involved? You help them learn what they need to do and not do and things like that?
Absolutely, yes. And as I mentioned, Jocelyn is our volunteer coordinator. And we do go through a pretty extensive volunteer training because hospice is very unique.
Yeah.
And so it does take a little bit of extra support, training, and mentoring as you get started. But all it really takes, Bob, is a heart to serve others.
That's great. And Kristen wanted me to be sure and ask you about the Tree of Immemorial Lights ceremony. What is that, and how do people get involved?
Yeah, so this year is actually, we do this every year, and this is our 27th year of supporting our community this way. It is a tree lighting ceremony, a tradition where we light a tree that will remain lit all through the holiday season. The ceremony is just about remembering, honoring those we've lost. It's really a cherished tradition that has us purposefully pause before entering the holiday season and really bring those loved ones back into our hearts and our minds as we move forward. We have, this year it's going to be held virtually because of the COVID cases in our area.
Like everything else.
Yeah, everything else. But uniquely, there is a tree in Priest Lake, in Bonner's Ferry, and in Sandpoint that will remain lit through the whole season, just remembering our loved ones. The ceremony itself is going to be easy for anyone to take advantage, whether you live here in the community or you live at the nation at large, anywhere, because we're going to do it through Facebook. And so on December 5th at 4 p.m., you join our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ Bonner General Health Hospice. It's a long one. It's at 4 o'clock on Sunday, December 5th. We do have a means, if you'd like to have your loved one's name read during the event, you can go right to our website and submit their name. If you choose at that same time, you can make a donation to our program in honor of your loved one. There's no donation necessary for your loved one's name to be read, but this is a way to also honor them and to give back to hospice as well. And our website is www.bonnergeneral.org www.mountainhome.org/hospice.
Very good. Again, that's December 5th, 4 o'clock. That's a Sunday, you said. And Bonner General, you can just Google Bonner General Hospital or Bonner General Health, and bonnergeneral.org will pop up /hospice to join that or to get more information on what we've been talking about here. And again, if you are interested in possibly volunteering or just learning more about it or what you can do to help out the community hospice here at Bonner General Health, 208-265-1159, and Jocelyn will be happy to help you. Tammy, thanks for joining us once again, keep up the good work, and we'll do it again sometime.
Thanks so much, Bob. You have an amazing day.
Thank you. We are going to take our second break. When we come back, going to switch gears a little bit. We're going to hit the ice. Yes, the ice rink is coming to the Sandpoint area after all these years, and Robert Pierce is here to answer some questions about that and tell us all about this exciting venture and what it's going to take to pull it off right after this.
At Super One Foods in Sandpoint, they say save time, shop online. Pick up your items or have them delivered to your home. It's so easy. Just go to superonefoods.net and select your items and the time to pick up your groceries at the store in one of the reserved parking spaces or have them delivered to you. It's that simple. And Super One is now hiring with some positions starting at $14 an hour. Apply online at superonefoods.net.
Okay, joining us today on the podcast is Stan and Roy, collectively known as the Raptors from Triple Play. Guys, here's a question. I've heard the Raptor Reef Water Park is always exactly 86 degrees. Why is this?
Well, Madeline, rigorous studies showed us that 86 degrees is the ideal temperature for fun to grow and flourish.
Oh, Stan.
So are you saying the water park would be less fun if it was 85 or 87 degrees?
I think that might possibly be exactly what I'm saying.
Could we make that not what he's saying?
The Raptors are brought to you by Triple Play, where you can bowl, play laser tag, climb a ropes course, and splash around in Raptor Reef Indoor Water Park. Plus, it's all attached to a cozy hotel. Visit 3play.com.
At 88 degrees, fun really dissipates, and we want to avoid that.
Okay, Stan, what is that based on?
Instinct, Roy. Distinct instinct.
Oh.
ADHD. It's the child who can't pay attention or sit still in school, right? The answer, maybe yes. Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, or ADHD, can be complicated and it can last a lifetime. Living with a condition can sometimes be a challenge. It may take years to accept a formal diagnosis, and it's not always easy to find the right treatment plan. Did you know that up to 75% of children and adolescents with ADHD have at least one additional mental health condition that also requires a comprehensive approach to treatment? ADHD guidelines were recently updated to reflect the need to screen for associated disorders. Be sure to talk with your child's doctor about proper screening and visit moretoadhd.com for additional information. That's moretoadhd.com. This message has been brought to you in partnership with ADA, ACO, and CHAD.
The holidays aren't about what you receive. It's about the good you give. P1FCU is asking you to join us in spreading a whole lot of joy this holiday season. Visit p1fcu.org/season or our Facebook page to nominate a family who could benefit from a special turkey dinner with all the trimmings. Want to do even more good? Stop by any P1FCU branch to drop off food, toy, and coat donations until December 17th. Join us in giving back during our season of giving.
Missed a noon hour? Check out the audio at our new website, NorthIdahoRadio.com.
All right. We are back. Once again, I want to thank Tammy and everybody at Bonner General Health for their almost weekly segments here on North Idaho Thursday. Switching gears a little bit, Robert Pierce is with us. He is the president of the Sandpoint Community Center, a group that is bringing an ice rink to the Sandpoint area. And Robert, thanks for joining us on the show today.
Bob Witte, good to see you again.
That's great to see you. And we were talking during the break about this has taken so long. And how long has this group been together, and how long have you guys been working on this ice arena?
Well, that's a good question. It's been about 20 years. We started when my kids were little. And, you know, we were traveling quite a bit for ice skating down to Spokane, down to the Cairo rink, which is in Post Falls. And, you know,
playing hockey in the middle of the night.
Yeah, in the middle of the night. You know, when you're an adult hockey player, your start times are often very late.
Yeah.
So 10 o'clock starts. You know, it's a great idea for this community. It made total sense. I mean, there's a lot of reasons it makes sense for our community, and I'll get into those. But in general, it took a long time to change the culture. I think that what I didn't realize when I started, that it's really hard to get a group of people together, tell them a bunch of really important facts, and have people change their minds. It doesn't work like that, and I didn't really realize that. I'm a veterinarian, so I do a lot of explaining medically to people, helping with medical cases and surgical cases and stuff. So I have a lot of experience now with dealing with these kinds of things. And I think this project just took so long because the culture is not an ice skating culture. The project is the same as it was 20 years ago. What's changed in this community, and the reason I think this is going to be successful, is the culture is very different.
And the culture meaning that people from here just didn't, I mean, they would, you know, ice skate and play a little hockey on Sand Creek or a few of the sloughs around when it got cold enough or long enough. But, you know, it just seems to me there's so many people here from Minnesota and places like that where, you know, hockey was a way of life, and they would want to be enthusiastic about bringing ice rink.
I think that is true. There, and it's more about hockey. Obviously, hockey is one of the many things that takes place at an ice arena. Probably not the most important thing that takes place. So we don't generally call it a hockey rink, although if you're a hockey player, that's what what you know it is. But really, this is about family skating. It's about kids skating. It's, and our project primarily, a lot of it is based on after-school programs.
Great.
And the reason I said before, you know, there's a lot of reasons this makes sense for our community. One of the things, and this is part of the cultural difference, you know, as Americans, a lot of people grew up in other places. And Americans are locked into their American sports, you know, baseball, basketball, football, the big three. Those are certainly baseball is a summertime sport. And soccer, of course, is big in this community. Those are both outdoor summertime sports. The need in this community for us, in our estimation, is that kids need indoor recreation during the wet and cold months. So when you live in Sandpoint, Idaho, when you live in a ski town, it's better that you look to the north, to our neighbors to the north, for what they do during the winter to keep their communities together, rather than look to the sunny skies of California or Texas or Florida or even, you know, the lower Midwest, where the weather's quite different.
Mm-hmm.
So the rainy, cold, dark months in the mid of, you know, midwinter, it's great to have kids when it gets dark at 4:30 and you get out of school at 3:00. You know, it's not much time to play outdoors. So
it's
really
going to be getting dark at 3:30.
I know, 3:30, right. So, you know, one of the big things that we have always thought we needed is some organized activities for kids after school, not mm-hmm. just going to the library. And the data is very clear, and I know the sheriff knows this, the sheriff's department knows this. The data is very clear that kids get into trouble. They get into trouble in that after school period between 3 o'clock when they get out of school and dinner time.
If they don't have an indoor sport to
if
go
they
to,
don't have
not everybody
something.
Plays basketball right. or wrestles.
And there isn't, you know, not everybody plays basketball, and basketball is for basketball players mostly. an ice rink is not just for hockey players. An
it's
ice rink,
anybody.
Everybody skates, just like everybody skis. The ski slope is not just for, you know, racers, mm-hmm. ski racers. It's not just for, you know, cross-country ski people. It's for everyone, and that's the difference with an ice arena. It allows kids to skate after school. We can have teen parties. We can have, you know, middle school afternoons. It just provides a lot of activities for kids during those dangerous periods of time, when, especially with single parent families, when you don't have a parent home and the kids go home. That's, you know, the data is really clear. Once again, drugs, sex, and vandalism. Those are the three big things that occur when kids aren't, you know, actively involved in things.
Yeah, and this is, I think that's a key word is actively, because, you know, you mentioned the library, and I love libraries. And a lot of kids go there every day after school waiting for the parent to get off of work. But they're not always reading or doing their homework. They're just loitering. It would be better to be burning off that. I mean, you've got so much pent-up energy from being in school all day to go out and just get some exercise and maybe meet other kids. And you can make as much noise as you want in an ice arena.
I mean, that's such a good point. I think that I think Americans in general, especially during the winter, we just don't get enough activity.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a dog trainer, and I have a couple of my daughters, Australian Shepherds, right now, and I'm a horse trainer of horses.
Great.
And so I know about – there's nothing better than a tired dog, a tired horse, or a tired kid when it comes to bedtime.
Yeah. So back to the reality of making this thing happen, you guys have come up with – $4 million?
Well, there's a little bit of misunderstanding. The article is very accurate in the paper, but it's hard sometimes for people to sort the facts out.
Yeah.
The first thing that we needed to do, and what's taken 20 years, is to find a site, to find a place that we can build this ice arena. It's a public good project. It's a public, benefits project. So it's completely appropriate to use the fairgrounds land. There are other towns such as Missoula, I think Great Falls, there's several, Moscow, all those towns use their fairgrounds to have their ice arenas. So it's, the precedent is clear. It's a great use of an area in that complex that is not being used at all right now. It's a vacant lot. We're not tearing out, tearing something down to build this.
So this is, and Darcy Smith was on the show last week.
Okay.
And she tried to describe where exactly the ice rink would go. So if you're heading into the fairgrounds main parking lot and going down the main drive, like you're going to go and do the loop and get to the fair office.
Right.
This is the lot, which is just a grass lot to the left to
yes.
the
you would
south
drive,
of there.
You would drive past the sheriff's office and mm-hmm. compound where they have cars stored. And you would just keep driving and you would drive right off of that road. You'd continue straight. And then as you look to the left, there's a giant open field.
Gotcha.
It's, I think, next to juvenile detention or the juvenile office, I believe.
That's very appropriate for what we're talking about.
One can build an ice arena for the kids, or we could just make juvie bigger. That's my opinion.
Well, juvie could be smaller after you get this ice rink built. So how is it being funded then? When does the initial money come from, and what do you have to do to come up with the rest?
Well, here's the plan. The first thing we needed was a site, because you can't raise money until you have a concrete site. Nobody wants to donate to an idea. If they did, I would be a very rich person.
Mm-hmm.
So what we needed was a place to drive a stake into the ground and say, this is the facility. And then we needed a vision. And, rather than reinvent the wheel, it was extremely easy to find the vision. We looked at, and of course this has been going on quite a while, we looked at multiple ice rinks, multiple ideas. And we copied the rink in McCall.
Mm-hmm.
McCall is half our size. They have a rink that is just gorgeous. And the town is in love with their rink. They do some tournaments. They do some college stuff. They fill up the hotel rooms in the middle of winter. They fill up the restaurants, the retail stores. It's a big boon to their economy. And that's a really important point to make. This is not just a field house or something that people can play sports in. This thing brings in tournaments. It brings in families. They stay in hotels. They eat out. Okay, so McCall is half our size. They support this rink that's basically the same copy that we have come up with. We're copying their rink. And when we all decided that and started looking at the facility itself, Haley, Idaho, which is, south of Ketchum, Haley built the exact same rink again. So Haley copied McCall, which just made me feel a lot better that we weren't copying, mm-hmm. Something that maybe wouldn't work. I've had extensive conversations with both the managers. We have a lot of kinks to work out to make this more our rink eventually. But as a starting point, we're copying an ice rink, an ice arena in a town that's half our size that absolutely loves it in the state of Idaho at near a ski resort. So I think that all fits pretty well. The next part of it, of course, is after the vision is now we have the land, we have the vision, we need the funding. And the funding is going to come, it's going to have to come through donations. So we don't have $4 million that we're bringing here today to start construction. We have to raise this money. So this is where the community comes in. and community members. And then we are, of course, going to get grants, and we're maybe get some help from the city. We may get some help from the county, but you know, there's not much money there, obviously. And we're not raising taxes to support this thing. This is coming from private donations primarily.
Yeah, very good point. We need to take our final break, get it out of the way. We're talking to Robert Pierce. He's the president of the Sandpoint Community Center. They're finally being able to bring a ice rink to the Sandpoint area, and we'll talk more about the ins and outs of that right after this.
Have you visited Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet lately? They have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, and they now stock ammo and knives as well. Of course, Grunberg Schloss carries U.S. and world coins and paper money, gold and silver, bullion, jewelry, and more. Open Monday through Friday from 10 to 5 on Triangle Drive just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Call 208-263-6060. Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet, 263-6060.
Oh, I love family road trips. Wind in my ears.
Good stuff.
Fridge in my mouth. And peace of mind knowing Les Schwab did our tires, brakes, and alignment. Like Les Schwab, my family's safety is my first priority. Well, that and squeaky toys.
Les Schwab Tires, proud to be ranked number one in overall customer satisfaction for aftermarket tire replacement by J.D. Power 2 years in a row. For J.D. Power 2021 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
We are here with Shane Flory from North Idaho Collision Repair Center in Bonners Ferry, answering your questions about insurance steering. So what is insurance company steering?
Insurance company steering happens when you pick up the phone to report a claim, and the insurance company recommends shops on their list. What people don't know is that these shops have signed contracts with the insurance company to fix that car for a lesser rate. At North Idaho Collision, we really are different. Although we have a great working relationship with all insurance companies, we will not sign insurance company contracts which can defer us from making the proper repairs to your vehicle. We are your advocate for quality repairs.
So what if my insurance company tells me that I have to go to one of their preferred shops?
It is always your choice where you take your vehicle for repairs, and it's illegal for the insurance company to tell you different. So if you have a shop that you're comfortable with, it's always your choice to take it there.
For more information on insurance steering and North Idaho Collision Repair Center, visit them online at nicrepaircenter.com.
ADHD. It's the child who can't pay attention or sit still in school, right? The answer, maybe yes. Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, or ADHD, can be complicated, and it can last a lifetime. Living with a condition can sometimes be a challenge. It may take years to accept a formal diagnosis, and it's not always easy to find the right treatment plan. Did you know that up to 75% of children and adolescents with ADHD have at least one additional mental health condition that also requires a comprehensive approach to treatment? ADHD guidelines were recently updated to reflect the need to screen for associated disorders. Be sure to talk with your child's doctor about proper screening and visit moretoadhd.com for additional information. That's moretoadhd.com. This message has been brought to you in partnership with ADA, ACO, and CHAD.
KSPT, KBFI, North Idaho's radio.
All right, we are back North Idaho Thursday, talking to Robert Pierce, president of the Sandpoint Community Center, the group that's making headway in bringing an ice rink to the Sandpoint area. And Robert, I really appreciate you doing this. You know, you had mentioned copying this arena, which doesn't really officially have a name yet, I don't think, and copying it from the one in McCall, and that McCall is half the size of our area. How did they pay for theirs?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that leads us to how we need to pay for our ice arena, and that's going to come through donations. And really, it generally comes from several major donors. You can do cookie sales, you know, bake sales and chocolate chip cookies, and you can
have a major donor.
You know, but it's a lot of money. And, you know, we were thinking that we will break ground at about $4 million is our current estimate. So when we hit about $4 million, that guarantees that we can put in the chiller, the ice, the building it'll be enclosed to keep the weather out, insulated to keep the heat costs down, or I'm sorry, the power bills down. and to make it a consistent, reliable environment for the ice skating. Otherwise, outside just doesn't work. So in order to fund that, we need some people to step up. And I do believe there are plenty of entities in this area that understand North Idaho, that want to help the kids, that want to help the families, that want to provide some of these opportunities that we're trying to provide, that can step up and help us. So we are definitely looking for some major donors. McCall had a family that started the ball rolling with a $1 million donation.
Yeah.
And then from there, they got several other families kicked in. They got some grants. They got some help. And like I said, they absolutely love their ice arena.
So it's on the county property, and the county's given the okay for it, I believe. What's the relationship going to be like between your group, your nonprofit, and the county once this arena is there?
The county has approved the use of this land for our project. And we are a 501c3 tax-deductible entity. We're a nonprofit group. We're doing this for the good of the community. So it works really well with the county. The county knows, and we all know, that if you can keep government out of the running of facilities like this, you're usually better off. So the goal is, and what other communities do, is they have a group like us running the facility. And I always tell the analogy, the analogy of, let's say you have a learned escape program and you've got 10 kids showing up and you've got the typical county or small town, like, Whitefish or McCall, there's employees there. Everybody's they're on salaries. They work hard, not knocking them at all. But if they have room for 10 kids and 12 kids show up, they say, "I'm so sorry, 2 kids can't skate today." And when you do it as a private entity, when you have 12 kids show up, what you do is you grab somebody, split the group into 2 groups of 2 of 6, and you have your learned escape program.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a really big difference between running it as a business type, philosophy versus running it as a government sort of entity.
So once it's up and running, and we'll talk about a timeline in a minute, or a potential timeline, your group would be hiring employees to do the day in, day out?
Yes, we would be running the facility. And I have a lot of experience as a business, North Idaho Animal Hospital. So I've run a business for years and years, my wife and I. And we're going to run this like a business. We have to. And there's an old saying, once again, that you must do well before you can do good. So we need to function well. We need to cover our operating costs, our salaries, the staff, the employees, some money for the fairgrounds, snow removal, all those things need to be covered. And then with the money that's left over, we can donate, we can, give away ice time, we can get kids that can't afford, programs.
Scholarship type of thing.
Once again, yeah, you have to do well before you can do good. So to run it as a business with semi-tight ship so that we can, make sure that we cover our costs, which should be easy to cover operational costs from the rinks that we've looked at. And then we can do as much as we can for donations and helping the kids out.
And, we touched on hockey at the beginning of this, and I understand the importance of just teaching kids to skate. Will there be youth hockey rec league type of thing?
Well, here's sort of the general picture for these facilities. You have some really prime family skate time, general skating, family skating. The facility in Post Falls, which is Frontier Ice, they have so many kids are shoulder to shoulder out there when sometimes mm-hmm. we'll go down for a game. So that's really mainstay of an ice arena is the family goes skating. And then you have kid times, you have after school programs like we've talked about. So you have a lot of just recreational skating. Then you have figure skating, obviously. Figure skating is a big thing all around the country. And we have a lot of people in this area that would be very interested in helping out. So we get kids doing the figure skating. They have figure skating lessons. They can do private lessons early in the morning, things like that. Then you have learn to skate just for basic people and kids. You have, yes, learn to play hockey is always a big one for kids that really don't understand the game. And then it doesn't take very long. The kids will grab onto this like crazy. It won't be long before you have some rec hockey leagues for the kids. We would immediately have adult leagues because there is enough adult mm-hmm. hockey players in this area that we already have 2 teams in Sandpoint that play in Post Falls. So that would be really easy. And then you have things, there are things like broom ball, and there's parties, you know, private rentals and things like that. So plenty of opportunity during the winter, which would be 6 to 7 months of ice. And then in the off time, the ice would be melted. The facility can be used for a lot of different activities as well. There's talk, you know, we've talked about having garage doors that you can open on both sides. So the wind kind of blows through in the summer. You could use it for an arts and crafts fair, flea market type stuff, farmer's market. You could put the Lawson 50s parade, the cars you could put in there and have the big Lawson 50s party there. Concerts, inline skating, box lacrosse, you know, indoor soccer. There's just, you know, lots and lots of uses. The building gets used very well year round.
Well, that's a wonderful idea, and I'd be remiss if I didn't ask. I have a lot of relatives around here who absolutely are curling fanatics. Will there be curling?
That's, you know, that's so funny. Americans always laugh when you talk about curling, and I'm one of them. I spent a lot of time in Canada, and I know it's really shuffleboard with cocktails.
Yeah, the way I absolutely. Would say. That's so, why when it became an Olympic sport, I go, where are they going to put their beer?
Where do they put their cocktail? No, it's a great sport. I've never done it. I've seen it. The Frontier Ice Arena down in Post Falls has a curling league. A bunch of people come and I think they just have a blast. So yeah, we'll have a curling. Sandpoint curling's big. I'll get you a hat.
Yeah, well, it'll save a lot of these people time. I mean, before the pandemic, they were driving up to Creston and Cranbrook just to curl for a weekend.
Yeah, I believe it.
So is there, I know we talked about funding and it really depends on that, but what is the hopeful timeline on having this a functioning building?
Well, I think it's a good question to, you know, when I look at best case scenario, worst case scenario. I mean, the best case scenario for this is that we get some major donors stepping up and we hit the $4 million mark, you know, by next year, and maybe we break ground in a year or a year and a half. That's best case scenario. It's going to obviously take a while to get plans together. And of course, even if somebody handed me a check today, I might not be able to do it in a year and a half with the supply shortages that are occurring in the States. And then of course, everybody's backed up, like all the big producers, the rink people, you know, have projects. So I think best case scenario maybe is 2 years. And then, you know, in McCall, it took maybe 5 years. I can't remember what they told me. Sometimes it takes several years. So I don't want anybody to think that we're starting construction right now. Mm-hmm. We need a lot of help. We need everybody to spread the word. We need to check out the website, which is sandpointice.org.
I'm on it right now, and it's very well done, and it will answer most questions, I would imagine. And again, sandpointice.org. O-R-G. And are you looking for, can people contact you on the website and join your nonprofit?
Yes. If you'd like to contact us for support, I'm getting a lot of emails for that, and I can keep your email address so we can contact you. If you'd like to make donations, of course, those are extremely welcome. Our first push is to get about $50,000 so that we can use that for grant writers and, you know, basically to secure more funds. So we do need donations right now, and you can talk to me through the website. You can also go to Washington Trust Bank, talk to Eric Paul, who's the commercial lender at Washington Trust Bank, is also on our board, as is Tom Chassie, the CEO of Schweitzer.
Wait, both of those guys are awfully busy with their jobs and their nonprofits. It's great that they'd step up once again.
Yeah, they're big help. And then, both good friends.
Yeah, very good people and extremely intelligent. So you've done well there. Does your group have regular meetings? If you joined, would you be obligated to once a month or what have you?
We've had informal meetings to sort of plan this. We've had some formal meetings to get this going. The big push has been to get this MOU with the county so that we can have the land. So things are really starting up now because we have a site. So like once I said before, it's really hard to raise money until you have a site. So now that we have that, it's going to heat up a little bit.
Very good. Talking to Robert Pierce, president of the Sandpoint Community Center, and they got the ball rolling with the county land, as he just mentioned, bringing in an ice arena to our area. Thanks for all you do. Thanks for doing that. And let's make this a regular thing on this show and keep people informed as we progress over the years.
I'd be happy to do that. Thanks, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. Once again, sandpointice.org. For more information. That's North Idaho Thursday for this week. Till next week, I'm Bob Witte, and we'll see you later.
K246CU, 1450 KBFI, Bonners Ferry, 1400 KSPT Sandpoint.